sig. Sing from water, sing from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre rain. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgive. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No more things, gun, trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, and it is the 13th of March, 2018, and it's been snowing off and on all day. The wind's kicking up. I see some snow blowing across the streets. And welcome to global bloody warming. Anyways, I better do this first before I forget about it. Thursday night, I'm going to have a guest on, maybe two. Karen Draper, possibly Carl Fleury from Alberta, will be on the show. And I like these people in Alberta. They getting their act together out there. They're getting active, which is good, but they're not running around raising hell. They're trying to gather up people. And so as far as I know, they're doing a conference, I guess you'd call it, April the 13th and 14th, and it's called The Time Is Now 2018, calling all brothers and sisters to gather as one in Calgary, Alberta, Friday night, 6:30 to 9:30, at the Plaza Hotel, the Conference Coast Plaza Hotel, and then Saturday, 11 till 3 p.m., barbecue music, March City Hall, Saturday 6 to 10 p.m. at the University of Calgary, I guess. And they have Rob Smets and Becca Shea live in concert. And you can find us on Facebook at The Time Is Now 2018. Tickets available on Everbright. Now, it's kind of interesting what they're doing, because this is probably a pretty good idea what they're up to here. I hope they get a hell of a crowd. We're going to promote it on Facebook, and then I imagine Carl will be here Thursday night with Karen, and I'm basically going to shut up and let him do the show and see if we can't get a good, solid a bit of PR put together. And then we'll ship the show out to the different venues on the internet. I'm hoping they get minimum 5 to 10,000 people, hopefully 5. 10 would be fantastic. And what they trying to do is basically a, I don't like the word, but a gathering of Christians. And it's important because the Christian church is as screwed up as the political system. Both are there to divide and conquer. And the people have been drastically misled by the churches. So the idea is to get some of these Christians together who get the, you know, are starting to ask questions now. And it's very important that we get this particular group of people together because, as I've been saying for so many years, two things have to fall for the globalists to get what they want. One's the American Constitution, the other one's the Christian faith. And the churches have all been so infiltrated, especially since the Vatican II. And the preacher should be actually taken out back and given a good swift kick in the ass because they've allowed themselves, well, the preachers have sold their souls. So, you know, back in 2007, I think it was, when I went looking to the churches, looking for a place to speak, have meetings, I was greeted, well, not well. It was a very cold reception at all of the churches, except for the Lutheran Church with the young pastor there who was incidentally removed pretty quick after I'd had a visit with him and after he'd given me the okay to use his church. They vacated his butt out of here pretty quick, but I left him some pretty pertinent information about how the churches were undermined and taken over after Vatican II. So I'm looking forward to Thursday night. I truly am. Karen made a really nice poster here, which I'm going to put up on Facebook, I guess. I get out of Facebook jail again tomorrow, so I imagine once I put this thing up, I'll probably be back in Facebook jail pretty freaking quick, just the way it operates. So anyways, I'm looking forward to them. Oh, I see there's a bunch of stuff here. I thought there was just the one poster. There's a whole pile. What does that say? Appendix. This is pretty cool stuff. Ministerial Order 2013. Whereas Ethical Citizen understands that it is not all about them, has learned about as in is appreciative of the effort and sacrifice that built this province and country and sees beyond self-interest to the needs of the community. Well, this is obviously sounds like UN stuff to me. Student learning, provisions of education in Alberta. I'm going to have to read some of this stuff, but not tonight. Minister of Education put this thing together. So I'm sure this is all UN agenda crap that we're deceived. Anyways, I haven't looked at any news here for the last little bit. So I read, I think it was on the front page of the Toronto Star this morning when I went to get a coffee, that some cop in, I'm not sure where it was, somewhere I think in Ontario, got busted for running a $20,000 a month protection racket. And that's really pathetic because our so-called police officers, you just keep hearing stories about these guys. I mean, these guys are not here for your protection. They're here for the protection of the corporation known as Ontario. They're here for the protection of the so-called judicial system, which is not a judicial system. It's an arbitrary, authoritarian beat up the slaves unit. So, I can't find that particular story. I don't know why, but this is a strange story here. Bank of Canada, Pelosi, underlines potential of Quebec child care for entire country. Now, why is a banker getting involved in child care? Well, it goes back to what Rockefeller said. Something has to take the place of government, and business seems to be the obvious entity to do it. So the head of the Bank of Canada, which really doesn't even exist, is pointing to Quebec's subsidized child care program as a possible tool to boost the entire economy because it could specifically raise female workforce participation across the country. In his speech Tuesday, Bank Governor Stephen Pelosi used Quebec's affordable child care model as one way to show how Canada could unlock some of the considerable untapped potential in its labor force. Helping more women, young people, Indigenous people, recent immigrants, and Canadians living with disabilities enter the job market could help the labor force expand by 500,000 people, he said. By his estimate, that kind of workforce injection could raise the country's output by $30 billion a year, or 1.5%. So, nobody is going to be able to stay home, I guess, or they'll be looked down upon if they stay home and look after their children. I mean, this is getting so ridiculous, it's just over the top. That's equal to a permanent increase in output of almost 1,000 per Canadian every year, even before you factor in possible investment and productivity plans that would come with such an increase in labor supply, said prepared remarks of Pelosi's speech at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. Clearly, that is a prize worth pursuing. No, it's not. Not even close. He added that encouraging more people into the workforce would also enable Canada to permanently raise its growth capacity without generating higher inflation. And why they want to put more people into the workforce is simple. You're collateral. Okay, you know, if mama's staying at home looking after the kids, she ain't paying taxes. She's not in the workforce. And Canada is so far in the hole now, we're never getting out, but then it's all phony debt anyways. But this isn't about child care. This isn't about anything but banking. And they can borrow money. The more people they have in the workforce, the more money they can borrow against your labor. Because you're surety for the loans and you're surety for the debt. So this has got nothing to do. This is what kills me about these newspapers. You know, Bank of Canada head underlines potential of Quebec child care for entire country. Now, people go, well, that's good. No, it's not. I mean, it's a banker. Well, why would a banker give a damn about your child care? They care about money and just money. So it's the old benefit scheme. It's the same benefit scheme that was foisted upon your mother after you were born. We'll give you some benefits for your child. Just sign here. you get a baby bonus and you can go to school and all this kind of stuff. Just sign here. And if you don't sign here, you don't get any of those benefits. And what Mama didn't realize was that they didn't disclose everything to her, is that if she does sign there and register the child of the state, the state basically takes possession of the child. That's why they can come into your home and take your children, because you signed them over to the state. Now, at that point, the state can make any stupid-ass rule they want, and you have to abide by it because, well, you are registered. And this is the same thing with this child care nonsense, is that we give you a benefit, a very minor benefit, and then we get all the mothers in that into the workforce, of which we can borrow large sums of money against, and we can tax Mama. And she'll have to put the kid into the, I shouldn't call him kids, child, into the hands of the government at an earlier and earlier and earlier age. So it'll be something like this. She gets pregnant, she works until she goes to the hospital, have the child, she has a child, rests up for a few days, give the kid to the government, and get back to work. And the paper spins this off as a positive somehow. I mean, people are lied to every single time the paper writes something on paper. And the sooner people understand that, the better. He noted that the federal government's budget last month made commitments aimed at increasing the labor force participation for women. So the bankers and the so-called prime minister are working together. However, some economists and critics have said that while the federal budget took steps in the right direction, they argued its failure to announce steps towards national affordable child care likely means a significant number of women will remain out of the workforce. Well, the plan is to get them in there, and they will do what they can. You know, it was the same as when feminism came along. And, you know, it wasn't normal, okay? It wasn't normal. Sure, there were women in the workforce, but it wasn't the majority. It wasn't normal. In fact, when feminism came in and women started to move into the workforce, people looked at it as a rather bit of an oddity. You know, what's wrong with these women? Why don't they want to stay and bring up their children and that? What are they doing? But over time, they normalize everything. Now, women who want to stay home and look after their children, they're the ones that are looked at as an oddity. Everything is upside freaking down. Now, you want to bring in a policy for the Canadian people that would make a little bit of sense. You know, instead of giving these two-bit benefits while you enslave the child, why are we not giving a piece of ground, not a legal property, not a legal land piece, not a legal piece of real estate, but an actual chunk of terra firma, this land, for each child born here, that has a family that's been here for X number of generations, whatever. You got to pick something there. You don't want somebody coming in and having six kids that just landed here. That ain't going to work. But we don't own anything here. And you can't call this a country. You can't call it a nation. If you don't own anything, well, you're like a slave in the cotton field. They may house you, they may feed you, they may clothe you, and that's exactly what's going on out there. But you don't own anything. All of your labor is owned by the company. Which doesn't set well with me at all. But this is what we have. So here in Ontario, we have Doug Ford has been elected as the leader of the Conservatives, which I think is going to be a total fiasco. I can't see it. I can't see it being a positive. Now, he's saying that he's going to get rid of the early child sex education, and I see when the premier is saying that they consulted with thousands of women or thousands of families or whatever to put this in place. But what families, right? You don't qualify that. What kind of families? This is really, really getting dumber by the minute, actually, this whole political system. And we're going to have to change it. So I'm kind of hoping that, I'm not just hoping, I got my fingers crossed for this two-day conference in Calgary. I really, truly do. They're trying to get some kind of solid footing out there. Everything's so fractured, you know. They're probably going to have what Antifa there, but if they do it right and they get a big enough crowd, the Antifa people won't be of a problem. I'm not so sure that they should have it, any part of this meeting at the City of Calgary Hall. I'm not so sure if that's such a good idea, because that's normally where people go to protest. And I don't think this should be spun off as any sort of a protest. It's a gathering of the people. They will discuss that Thursday night, have it somewhere else. And because a lot of people will be intimidated about attending if it's at the City Hall. You know, they don't want to be seen. They want to know what's going on. They want to know what this conference is about. But I don't think a lot of people want to be seen at City Hall. There's a lot of, opportunity for people to say, you know, your employee was at City Hall protesting. I think a lot of people will stay away if it's at City Hall. But then they have two other events going on, which will be probably make up the difference, hopefully. We have a, if anybody's looking for work, they're looking for 30 workers at 7 acres up here, just north of Kincardine, Ontario. And it's 7 acres of greenhouse where they grow weed now. So if anybody wants to grow weed for the government, just put in 7 acres employment or jobs available or whatever. And because somebody was from the 7 acres greenhouse was in my wife's store today and seemed rather desperate that they needed 30 people right away to fill some jobs up there. So if you're looking for work and you have a horticultural greenhouse weed fingers, that may be of interest to you. What else we got here? Well, people don't have enough to bitch about, eh? Newmarket mum has been told that her four kids are too loud in the backyard. That should start a controversy. I mean, this is so stupid, right? You know, we have some people down at the next street. They kind of, their yard backs onto all our yards coming this way. And they have a pool down there. And in the summertime, sometimes in the evening, you'll hear all kinds of little kids squealing and carrying on and laughing and just having a wee of a time. Are they loud? Yeah. Is it annoying? Not really. It's some kids having fun. But, you know, there's a lady reading a piece of paper, again, from the government, a government piece of paper, probably telling her that we'll send in someone to take your kids if you don't duct tape their little faces. Let me see here. Noisy neighbors gave Morgan DeCairns De Boer an earful. Not to her face, of course. About her four children seemingly being too loud when they play in the backyard. So the lady didn't come over and say, hey, could you hold the noise down a bit? No, neighbors don't talk to neighbors anymore. They go to the government. They go to some stupid jackass government agent and complain. And that's really what's messing up our whole so-called society. Morgan De Boer thinks children playing is one of the happiest sounds in the world. Unfortunately for her, at least, one of her neighbors doesn't agree. The Newmarket mother of four boys under the age of six who live in the Woodland Hills area was speechless when she received a letter in the mail via Canada Post indicating her children were too loud when they were playing in their backyard. The letter with no return address and signed your neighbors, oh, I see, okay, states several neighbors are frustrated with the noise that is interrupting TV viewing, reading, and napping. Get some earplugs. This is beyond stupid. We encourage you to correct your child when he screams by saying, please stop that yelling, or something like that, the letter stated. Perhaps if you supervise them while they were in the backyard, it would help. It wasn't long before De Boer found her words and took to social media to express her frustration and distaste for the anonymous letter. In a matter of minutes, her followers took her side, commenting on how important it is for children to play outside in a generation growing up in front of screens and instead allow them just to be kids. To have a neighbor comment and cowardly hide on my choice to allow my kids to play in safe contained area, which is part of the space we pay for, and play how they want and independent from me, confuses me. Excuse me for allowing my children time to use their imaginations and problem-solving skills and get some needed vitamin D. If given the chance, she would have pointed out to her neighbor that her children are only outside if the weather is nice and in between schools and dinner. For maybe an hour or two, as far as she is concerned, the neighborhood dogs are more disruptive. While she appreciates the suggestion laid out in the letter, she wonders if her yelling at her children to quiet down would help anyone and the logistics of getting your four children to a public park that is not close, as one may think, a challenge. We have a great backyard with ample grass, patio space for them to run, jump, play, and I can safely allow them to do so with my screen door open and keep an ear out for trouble while I mind the baby and do what needs doing. As this was an anonymous letter, we chose to respond using social media and use this opportunity to remind families of importance of outdoor and independent play. She confirmed the letter won't hinder her children outside playtime and encourages all parents to have their children take a break from technology and enjoy the great outdoors. Many of her followers have offered to bring their children over for play a date in the backyard to lend her children drum sets or to throw a large party for the neighborhood children in her backyard. Good plan. Great plan, actually. Yeah, it's a good idea. Have a big party. Raise some hell. But, you know, when your neighbors are that unattached to each other, that they're sending out anonymous letters, what does it say about our society? You know, I mean, I grew up in a noisy neighborhood. If we weren't playing ball, we were playing cops and robbers or cowboys and Indians or whatever. But kids tend to be noisy because they have a vivid imagination. They're having fun. They're not sitting there like a bunch of zombies staring at a freaking television screen. You know? So I don't think it's the children that are the problem. I think it's the people who complained about the children that are really the problem. They probably wouldn't agree with that, but that's the way it is. Well, here's some good news from the Liberals. The governing Liberals will remain steadfast in their plans for the province, including running a larger deficit in the upcoming budget, said Kathleen Wynne, who also accused the Progressives of making decisions on the fly. Speaking to reporters in a downtown restaurant about the province's new $14 minimum wage, Wynne touted the move brought in by her party for 1 million Ontario workers, 600,000 of them women, calling it critically important to families and part of a fair society. Well, the problem is they didn't create this living wage. This came from the internationalists who want basically to run every mom and pop joint out of the country. The whole idea here is the only businesses that are going to run in this country are large multinational companies. And the easiest way to run mom and pop out is to make it impossible for them to stay in business. Now, a lot of these small stores, you know, offer a service that maybe people can't get somewhere else, or they don't like the big stores. Maybe they find that the attitude of the small store people is better than the big store people. But most of these small stores are running on a pretty thin line. So you throw in that larger wage, you're going to hurt them. And they've increased their taxes and everything else. So it's not about helping, okay? I mean, it's just like the other story with the banker. You know, we're here to help with childcare. A banker and childcare? Give me a freaking break. It's about money. And this particular thing here with Kathleen the Dyke Wynne is a crock of crap. You know, what we brought in You didn't bring anything in, you old cow. Okay? A template was sent to you, and you followed the directives. And the directives did not come from your office. It did not come from anybody in Ontario. It came from internationalists, the globalists. Noting the Liberals' other initiatives to help struggling Ontario, she said, the betrayal of those needs and stepping back from those needs and not acknowledging that there is a need to put the conditions in place, to step back from that would be impossible. Now, that is, again, a bit of propaganda there, okay? You create a need and then you fill it, okay? But it's normally for nefarious purposes, of which everything that's going on in this province is for nefarious purposes. She said there will be no tweaks to the budget, and the party that's making decisions on the fly is the Conservatives. We are absolutely steadfast in our plan. We made an international decision because we are in a very uncertain economy, and we need to continue to put those supports in place that create opportunity for people in the province, okay? So, we made an international decision. Didn't make a national decision. You made an international decision, and all of the laws and that are being set up on the international side are to end nation states. So she apparently is pretty proud of it. Finance Minister Charles Souza, who said last week the province would unveil its 2018-19 budget on March the 28th with a deficit that could be close to another $8 billion. During an interview on CBC's Metro Morning, newly named PC leader Doug Ford said, we have to be fiscally conservative to make sure we take care of the most vulnerable in society. The only way we can take care of them is making sure our finances are in order. Now, if you understand liberal and conservative, okay, liberal spin and conservatives destroy the economy by saying that they want to be economically feasible. They're just one boot on the tyrannical body. Now, what Ford says is here, we have to be fiscally conservative, not fiscally responsible, fiscally conservative, to make sure we take care of the most vulnerable in society. Now, we have a debt here in Ontario that is almost double the debt of California. California being 40 million people thereabouts, and Ontario being 14 million people thereabouts, and we have almost double the debt of California. So if you're going to try to be fiscally conservative, your hospitals, like last time the Conservatives were in power, are going to be further destroyed. Thank you for calling. 10, 9, 8, 7. So either way, the people of Ontario, it doesn't matter if the dike's in or bubblehead Ford's in, you're going to lose. And, you know, when I talk to people about politics, they, for the most part, tell me they don't vote anymore. And when you ask them why not, they say the same thing. What's the point? Doesn't matter who you vote for, you get the same garbage. Well, there's a reason you get the same garbage, is because it's designed that way. So we lose again. Now, I wouldn't trust Doug Ford as far as I could chuck him, and I wouldn't trust the dyke as far as I could chuck her. And it seems to be your two choices. Now, when Doug Ford said that his dentist is a Jew, his accountant's a Jew, his lawyer's a Jew, his paternal mother's grandmother, I think it was, is a Jew, then and we had all this voting problems. You know, these guys do the choosing who they're going to put in. So we could see if the conservatives get in, we could see a large spike in interest rates, which would really fall into line here, because what's not sustainable is private property. And they've got people mortgaged to the ass with low interest rates. And it wouldn't take much of an increase to start turning over your homes to the internationals, who are going to bust them up into pieces and turn them into high-density properties. Let's see. He also told the broadcaster's Ottawa Morning radio show that if elected, the PCs will look for efficiencies, including measures such as having different ministries sharing procurements and not the 40,000 job cuts the Liberals have said it will need to fulfill its promises. We are going to find efficiencies, drive efficiencies, he said, which would have to be just 4 cents on the dollar. The Liberals will increase the minimum wage next year to $15. Ford, however, said he would freeze it at the current $14 an hour. Now, had the Conservatives been in power, they would have put in the same living wage. They said it. Now, where did this come from again? Did the Liberals think it up? Did the Conservatives think it up? Of course not. It came in the template. Fill out the template. Anyways, Ford's plan includes axing taxes for anyone making $30,000 or less, which would give the most vulnerable people in the province an extra $160 a month. Ford also said that unlike the Liberals, which planned government-run cannabis stores, he would make sure it's open to a fair market. I don't like government controlling anything. Okay? So that's another part of the sell-off rhetoric. Now, if you look at the Conservatives in England, the English have been so far sold down the river, I don't even know if they own the grass anymore. The one-term Toronto City Councillor said the PC platform won't be the people's guarantee, as unveiled by the former leader, Patrick Brown. Now, before he was elected, Ford said that he would follow the PC People's Guaranteed platform. So already he's flipped. But rather a pretty clear vision. Oh, there's that vision word. That's out of the UN. It's the internationalists. It's the Marxist vision. It's not going to be the People's Magazine version of 80 some odd pages. It will be shorter, more abbreviated form of our platform, and I will look forward to sending it out. So, yeah, it don't matter. It makes no never mind who you vote for in this election. And I would encourage people just to go out and vote. Okay? I don't care if you vote for the I like mushrooms on my steak party, or vote for an independent, but you need to get out and vote and show your distaste. Don't refrain from voting. Go out and vote for anybody other than the NDP, the Liberals, or the Conservatives. Make your voice heard. Okay? You want, when this election's over, you want the winner to have such a low percentage of the overall population that they really don't have any authority to run anything. Okay, they say, well, we've got the majority. You ain't got squat. You may be in power, but you most certainly do not have the majority. So don't refrain from voting. Go out and vote. Make your voice known. Silence is consent. And if you don't vote against these parties and you just remain silent and do not make your voice heard through your vote, then you're part of the problem. And I hate politics. The political system is the most corrupt, disgusting tyranny that was ever laid upon a people. Now, we got to get rid of them. But first of all, we have to show them. You don't want a low vote count. You want a high vote count. Okay? You want everybody out there voting, but not for any of these so-called mainstream parties. And that goes for the Green Party, too, if you're leaning that way. I mean, she signed on. Elizabeth May was one of the signatories to the Earth Charter. Okay, enough said right there. But get out there and put your vote in and have your voice heard because it's important. Now, let's see. We got thousands of parents were consulted on sex education curriculums, Premier Wim says. Well, thousands. How many thousands? There's 14 million people living here. PC leader Doug Ford promises to scrap the liberal sex ed curriculum. I will repeal it, then we'll make sure we consult with the parents and teachers. Ford told reporters the updated sex ed curriculum was put into effect by liberals in 2015. But it's a UN initiative, okay? So you may pull it repeal it, but it ain't going anywhere. That's for sure. Let's see what this guy's got to say real quick. Let's see. Newly elected PC leader Doug will scrap the sex ed curriculum. He made the promise during a normal or a round of media interviews Monday, 2 days after being elected. He will repeal it, and then we'll make sure we consult with parents and teachers. Well, wait a minute. Didn't Kathleen Wynne said that they instituted the sex education program, her early age, after consulting with thousands of parents? So now we have Ford, who's going to repeal it, and then consult with parents and teachers. For what reason? What is it you're going to consult with? If you're going to repeal it, you don't need to consult. Building on a promise he made during leadership to review all areas of the curriculum, including sex and math, we have to make sure we tweak a few things in there, and then we'll move forward. Well, moving forward is, and again, UN, a Marxist lingo. Okay, there's no difference. Should the Ontario government scrap the new sex education curriculum? Yes, parents did not have enough input. No, the curriculum was in need of updating. We need to teach about cyberbullying and sexting. Unsure, I haven't read it and do not have children. And the last one, the province should look at the curriculum but not make it a priority. So let's go view the results. Because I don't see anything I would want to vote here for. Now, this is interesting. Should the government scrap the new sex ed curriculum? Yes, parents do not have enough input and it does not align with everyone else's values. No, the curriculum was in need of updating. We need to teach about cyberbullying and sexting. Okay, so should the government scrap the new sex ed curriculum? The winning so far is no. No leads the yes. But what do we got here? It's close. We got, 42.93% say yes, and 48.62% say no. But most of the people have never read it. Most of the people have no idea what's in it, you know. And this being a liberal paper, who knows. But at this point in time, more people want the sex ed than don't. An updated sex education curriculum was put into effect by liberals, yada, yada, yada. On Monday, one social conservative voiced his support for Ford's promise to do what former PC leader Patrick Brown would not. Controversial Christian leader Charlie McVitie told his thousands of followers on Facebook to vote for Ford if they want to see radical sex education repealed. Now, McVitie is apparently a pretty controversial guy. And what gets me about Ford is he's saying everything he deals with is Jews and that he's basically Jewish. And but then he got hanging out with these controversial hardcore or fundamentalist Christian people. And he seems to be leaning that way. So he's riding the fence pretty hard here. He's looking for votes. Okay. McVitie has been a fierce opponent of the sex ed curriculum, same-sex marriage, abortion. About a decade ago, the CTS television network removed his program from his lineup after the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council found it made insidious and conspiratorial remarks about the gay community. Ooh. Let's see. So this goes on. You should read it. I should put it in there. I'm going to have fun in this election. Now, I'm running as a libertarian. And the only reason I'm running as a libertarian is when I looked at their at their platform, it seems more than reasonable. There's a few things in there I'm not particularly fussy about, but overall, I think what they are not so much a party as just a group of men and women, mostly moral men and women, who sees where the direction that this province and country is headed. And they're finally asked enough questions to wake themselves up, and they're stepping up to the plate. And that's why I'm running as a libertarian. Although I was encouraged to run for several other parties, which I denounced and turned down their offers. And, you know, I was told that I had a great future in politics by a conservative handler. And, you know, instead of being flat broke busted here now, I could be high up in the conservative government or one of the other governments. But I can't lie and smile at you and shake your hand all at the same time, which these disgusting, amoral a-holes seem to have the capacity to do. So hopefully during the election, I have the opportunity to, you know, stick a fork in some of these other politicians and call them done and get some usable knowledge to some of the people who are now asking questions. Hopefully I have the opportunity to explain how the political system actually operates and who it operates for. It certainly isn't the people. So I'm looking forward to that. I intend to have some fun with it. You know, I'm really ticked. You know, it's gotten so bad. I mean, the taste that leaves your mouth is not pleasant. And he may have a hard time here. I don't know that they put Ford in here and let him ride all this stuff out, because I still believe, even though, you know, they're saying that the Liberal government will be pushed out by the Conservatives, whether they are or not, I still have the feeling they just stuck Ford in here. I mean, they have everything in place. With the Liberals, the internationals, the globalists, the UN boys, have everything in place in Ontario to make their job easy. So I'm not sure why they would want to switch over to Conservative, unless, you know, part of it is to crush the economy, sell off our hospitals and schools and all the rest of it. That could be part of the reason Ford's in here. And that would help them push the guaranteed income into place, because people are going to get hurt a lot worse than they are right now in the next few years. And we need to gather our people up so that we can weather this storm, and when the storm's over, that we're in control. Because until we get in control, until the moral men and women get control of this province and your local municipalities and your districts and in turn the country, we ain't got a lot of positive coming at us. I got 1 minute left. Anybody out there that is on board with this Alberta separation movement, go get your head read, okay? That is, again, another vision, another mechanism coming out of the internationals to destroy nations, okay? Because there is a movement out in Alberta that want to join the United States. Now, if you think about that for a second, so let's see, you're moving from one corporation to another corporation, which are both under the control of the globalists. Give your head a shake. So if you are considering, or you're involved in this separation movement of Alberta from Canada, you need to get your head read, because instead of working for the people of your nation, you're working against them. And that makes you as treasonous as the government you're complaining about. So we should be hearing music any second. Anyways, Thursday night, please tune in Thursday night, because I'm going to have Karen and Carl from Alberta. And they're going to discuss what they're up to in Alberta in trying to bring a grassroots group together. And that grassroots group is very splintered. Although they call themselves Christians and that, they are an extremely splintered group of people. And I'm very interested to see if they can bring some of these people together with a similar mindset. And if they can do that, then I think we can start moving forward at a much quicker pace. Because then we can start dealing with this across the country. Anyway, to hear music, we're out of time. Take care, and please try to tonight.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force from air. Fuck them black, it's only for the more.